You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_da-da. Well, I want to start off today on the right foot. Compliments of Kyle from Madison. He sent this little gem over, and I thought you might enjoy it. And so here we go. It's our buddy, Colin Coward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes a good player is a good player, but if I'm Josh Jacobs for the Raiders and I get now an offensive coach over the last 10 years, better offensive lines, I would say a weaker defensive division. Okay. So, you know, you start looking at that division. Minnesota doesn't have a great defense. Detroit is mostly about offense. So I look at Josh Jacobs and I think I go to a winning culture with winning momentum, an offensive coach. I've got tremendous tight end and wide receiver weapons young. And it looks like Jordan Love, again, here's a quarterback that can move. And now he's got some experience in the system and starting. I'm Josh Jacobs. So Saquon Barkley, Giants to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs, Raiders to the Packers. I'm a running back. I should be much more efficient, much more productive, perhaps even with fewer carries. Isn't that a running back's dream? Fewer carries, more production, more touchdowns. So there's an argument there that like a Barkley and a Josh Jacobs, those everybody's saying, you know, running backs, very sad. Nobody wants a running back. Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs got great landing spots. I'd be shocked if both aren't more productive. I mean, Green Bay doesn't make moves in free agency, but Jordan Love's 25, Jacobs 26, Musgrave the tight end 23, Reed the receiver 23, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. I mean, Green Bay's offense is going to be dynamic for years. And they don't spend money in free agency. This, they just want to make sure they can get a running back that's healthy. If you don't like Green Bay's offense, I don't know what you're watching, because they got nothing but young, dynamic, twitchy, fast, talented pieces. Tight end, running back, wide receiver, quarterback.
I just love, absolutely love, and I've talked about this not recently, but a lot lately, the discourse, the NFC North discourse. We'll see when this thing all shapes up how things are going. We saw this start as soon as Jordan Love started to become that dude, right? Packers were basically just this lump of garbage being dragged around by a quarterback that's going to be leaving soon, and then we all get to laugh at the Packers. The Bears are kind of a mess, but they've got this great quarterback that everybody loves. We love Justin Fields. Oh, he's wonderful and amazing. I just want to pet him and stare at his abs. The Vikings, nobody cares about. I don't know. I don't know why. They just, we like Justin Jefferson. We refuse to acknowledge Kirk Cousins is good at stuff. He's just kind of this nice goofball that we make fun of and don't want to give any credit to. And then the Lions are just the darlings, right? They are just the greatest thing. Oh, what a great story. And now coming into this year, there was sort of this awakening of, okay, we got everything wrong and we need to sort of navigate this and position ourselves to be in the right. So Justin Fields has been cast aside. We're just going to pretend that the media hasn't been, you know, pumping this guy up for years. Everybody that's been talking about him is going to pretend that they don't even know who he is. Like, I don't know, something about some field thing trade. I don't even know who that is. I don't know. But the Bears are a mess. The Vikings, people care about even less now because they're bad and they don't even have Cousins anymore. So it's like they got it's the Justin Jefferson team. Yeah, what team is that? It's the team with Justin Jefferson. It's all you need to know. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. And the Lions, it's kind of, I don't know. Maybe they're still the darlings, but just like with the Packers, you kind of get worn out with the same old story, right? Like how many years are you going to run with this? Like, we love the coach, you know, such a touching, great leader thing, underdog story. Plus, you made it to the playoffs and won in the playoffs. So you're not an underdog anymore. Now you're just a good team that's expected to do good. So you don't get like these nice little pats on the head like, oh, look at them. They're trying so hard. No, now you're just a team. But the Packers seem to be the one everybody wants to talk about. And part of that might be because, you know, when you're so wrong about something for such a long time, you tend to overcompensate. You know, when you are the one coming out like, you know, Colin Coward was, although he's been on both sides of this multiple times. But when you're one of the ones that has been trashing the Packers and saying that they're headed toward doom and gloom and Jordan Love is not going to be the guy and he's terrible because there's these articles that not even necessarily reputable, but they say things that I'm interpreting to be bad, even though some of them aren't even bad. You tend to overcompensate. Choking on my coffee here. Excuse me. And so now Jordan Love is young and dynamic and unbelievable. And listen, I don't think he's wrong. I'm just excited about it. For all the reasons, regardless of the reasons, I'm excited about it. And the other thing that I like about it is that it kind of pulls us back a little. We're so down in the weeds. You know, I think we're at our worst during like the 53 cutdown. That's when we just go absolutely out of our minds about guys that really will have almost no impact on our team. You know, that number six edge rusher, you know, like the guy's not even going to play. Who cares? But we're kind of doing that now with, you know, oh man, was it going to be this or that or whatever? And we forget that Jordan Love is the most important thing, and Matt LaFleur and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave. There's so many pieces that go well beyond the running back situation. And by all means, I understand Aaron Jones was an important guy for a long time and all that stuff. Let's not lose sight of the fact that this is still maybe the youngest, one of the more talented teams in football that has a very legitimate chance of actually fixing the defense and being a serious powerhouse and for a very long time. If we assume Josh Jacobs can get back on his horse and do a good job of being a running back for the next four, you know, say until he's 30, we have four uninterrupted years at least of just having this unbelievable offense. And that's assuming we just draft nobody for the next 4 years to replace some of these guys that get older, which you know is not going to happen. But we can look over the next 4 years and say this offense is going to be scary as all get out. And even the offensive line, we look at it as being a problem, but I mean, let's assume Walker is the worst case scenario. He's young. Our right tackle is young. Elgton Jenkins is young. We have two positions on the offensive line. Even if we can't 100% fix that, you're saying the worst case scenario is we're pretty much the same team we've been for a long time? Like, we got to find a guard, but it's like the same offensive line. I think we'll be fine. And that's assuming we find nobody better. I don't know about that, Chief. Don't forget to be excited about what this team is. Anyways, let's continue that. This is NFL on NBC. I think these guys are mostly talking fantasy football type stuff, but it doesn't matter. Who cares? They're still talking about it. Essentially, they're trying to compare Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, and they're, well, whatever. I'll just let them speak on it.
Well, I think the argument, too, is as we, you know, look at Josh Jacobs, that you're more excited about that transition because sure. Green Bay under Matt LaFleur, they run the heck out of the football. Yep. They develop offensive linemen. And the fact is that backfield with A.J. Dillon still in free agency, Aaron Jones gone to the Vikings, I mean, it's Josh Jacobs right now.
The Packers as a team last year averaged over 25 running back touches a game. And if you look closely at sort of how that contract is, it's basically he got, I think, $12 million to sign. And after that, the team can get out of it.
So very pay-as-you-go.
It's basically a one-year deal that's guaranteed. So my point is that the Packers aren't going to be like, listen, we got to make, you know, we're locked into Josh for the next 3 seasons, so we got to, they can easily give him 330 carries this or touches this year and not worry about it, right? And so, again, better offensive line, better offense, again, they want to throw, they want to be balanced on offense. LaFleur has traditionally been, you know, kind of a balanced coach. Jordan Love gives them, you know, a nice boost offensively, if you will, as well. But, you know, if you can be better in the red zone, right? Packers 27th in red zone rate, red zone rush rate last season. Like, it gives them an option in the red zone, right? So all of a sudden now you've got a guy that's good around the goal line that can finish, that's going to get a lot of work. He's a good pass catcher as well. They certainly used, you know, Jones somewhat in the passing game, even Dillon sometimes as well. So I think that, to your point, he was running back 18 in points per game. Last year, I think Josh Jacobs is now back to being an RB1 because that backfield is entirely his on a pretty good offense.
Yep. Also think he's just better than Saquon. I think he's a better running back at this stage of his career. He's a couple years younger. And I think that for whatever reason, we don't think of Jacobs he's just not talked about in the same breath as guys like McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. He doesn't have the pedigree of Saquon Barkley. Yep. He's not as big as Jonathan Taylor. But, I mean, he won the rushing title 2 years ago. He was the number one running back by PFF that year.
Yeah.
His rookie season, he was the number two running back by PFF. He is an absolute monster, and he's been able to do this without much of an offensive line, without a great quarterback situation for the most part. I think Jordan Love, the level that he showed towards the end of last season is a higher level than Derek Carr ever showed in Vegas. So I think that, yeah, it all lines up amazingly. Obviously, they play in Green Bay, so it's not like a dome where you're going to be throwing the ball a ton necessarily. So I think it all lines up pretty well.
Think about their playoff game. Think about their playoff game against both San Francisco and Dallas, the Packers. Yeah. Like, they, you know, Aaron Jones, just how effective they were at running the ball. And now you have somebody in Josh Jacobs who, to your point, is going to get a massive workload. Again, they average basically 26 running back touches per game. And so they'll probably draft somebody or you know, maybe they'll sign a second-tier free agent. But the money here and the fact that both Jones and Dillon are gone, doesn't look like Dillon's coming back, tells you this is massive workload for a talented running back on a very good offense.
And I think all of that is true. And so, again, I want to get back to the discussion of drafting a running back, because you could say, okay, I mean, one of the benefits of a guy like this is we don't have to split carries so much. We don't have to do, you know, of those 25 carries, which is a lot of carries, we're going to do, you know, 12 for Aaron Jones. We'll do, you know, 10 for A.J. Dillon, and then 3 random carries for some other guy. There you go, 25 carries. We'll just give, you know, aside from a little bit of a breather here and there, we're going to give 20 carries to this guy. And I think that's part of the reason they like a guy like this, is because they feel they can put that on his shoulders. And whether or not they want to run him into the ground after a year and get rid of him, I don't necessarily know. But getting back to the draft discussion, you kind of look at it and go, okay, well, what do you need? Let's say this is the solution, and we're going to put all this on his shoulders. You don't want to invest in a high pick in a guy that's never going to touch the ball. And you know, I know it's not necessarily a high pick if you're talking maybe third round or so, which even if they start coming out in the second, you know, in the third round, there's going to be plenty of guys that I think fit that Gutekunst mold that can be sort of a Josh Jacobs type, you know, the 6'2", 220, tackle breaking type of guy. I think the benefit of something like that is that you essentially never have to take him off the field. And by him, I mean one of those two. It's the same guy either way. And so, yeah, maybe he gets 20 carries and the other guy doesn't get it as much. Or maybe it's 15 and 15, or they switch from this to this, or maybe it's a matchup thing. But the other benefit of it is, too, it's never going to be a situation where you're paying a ton of money for running backs. You're going to pay Josh Jacobs a lot of money and the other guy's going to be on a rookie contract. And by the time that guy needs an actual big money contract, assuming the Packers are even willing to get it to him, Josh Jacobs is going to be 30 years old. It is going to run parallel to Josh Jacobs' 4-year contract. Rinse and repeat. You know, you draft a guy that's 22 years old, he'll be 26. You draft a new guy who's 22. I mean, it's cycle repeats itself. But either way, yeah, I agree. And I think it's exciting that they have a guy that they don't feel like we need somebody that can carry the other 15, 12, 10 carries, because we can't give Josh Jacobs, or in the case of last year and years prior, Aaron Jones, we don't feel comfortable giving him much more than 10 carries. If Matt LaFleur wants to run the ball 20 times, 25 times, whatever the case, you know, 30 times, we can put almost the entire game on Josh Jacobs' shoulders. Again, aside from, you know, giving him a breather once in a while, he can handle it. Anyways, continuing on with just trying to get caught up on some of the conversations happening on the YouTubes with all the free agency stuff. Here's Rich Eisen going through his top 10 NFL free agent moves.
How do you like your power rankings with cheese? How do you like them with cheese? Because we're going to start serving cheese to start. Number 10 on the list is Green Bay's signing of safety Xavier McKinney. It is a four-year deal worth $68 million, including $25 million in year one. He is exactly what the doctor has ordered for Green Bay, and it is one of those like, okay, so you guys do know group free agency exists. I get it. Right. I see you. I see you in Green Bay, making sure that that back end is taken care of, and I'm not referencing Skip Bayless's tweet.
Whoa.
Number nine, more cheese on the menu.
Yes.
Josh Jacobs. How about Josh Jacobs to Green Bay?
I love it.
How about that
I
one?
I think it's awesome.
Because this guy, he's got the ability to get stronger as the carries pile up. I think Green Bay fans are going to love Josh Jacobs. If the Josh Jacobs of the last couple years in Vegas shows up in Green Bay, he's got like that real nasty streak. Like the four-minute drill is going to be awesome to watch in Lambeau Field with him running the ball, if healthy. And they got him on a four-year, $48 million deal. That's 14.8 in year one, but the rest of it's kind of like year to year after that.
Yeah, it's pretty much a one-year deal.
It's a weird construct, yeah. But they got him. Number eight.
All right, so another thought. So first of all, Rich Eisen put both free agent moves in the top 10. They were 9 and 10, but still pretty popular moves. Nothing not to like. I mean, these are two of the top free agents available, and the Packers got them. I want to revisit something we've talked about before, but not since free agency. He talked about, you know, the four-minute drill and being able to just smash Josh Jacobs over and over and over again. Can we revisit that thing where we just load up on offensive line? I don't necessarily want to get into the weeds on whether we need a tackle or whether we're doing interior. We'll freaking figure it out. Zach Tom can play inside, right? If we get a tackle, maybe we upgrade the left tackle spot. Maybe we leave him there and kick Zach Tom inside because we need a guard anyways. I don't really care what the situation is. And remember, Elgton Jenkins can play anywhere on the offensive line also. So, you know, I mean, we could potentially get a tackle and a guard, kick Zach Tom inside, kick Elgton Jenkins to center. Bing, bang, boom, ready to rock and roll. I don't care what the situation is, but just getting some real solid offensive line pieces. Yes, they need to pass block, but just, you know, I love the thought of being able to line up and say, we're running the ball. Ready? Try to stop us. Because Josh Jacobs is a freaking hammer. But getting some bulldozers to make way for a hammer, that's a pretty enticing thought. You want to impose your will. That's the only thing standing in our way right now. We've got a quarterback, wide receivers, tight ends, head coach that can make us impose our will in the pass game, right? Like I've said, I've never seen so many instances of third downs where guys come wide open. Unbelievable. Imagine now also being able to do that in the run game, where it's like, yep, we're going to run the ball and there's not a freaking thing in the world you can do about it. But anyways, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We've got a little bit more Rich Eisen. He did a little segment called Overreaction Monday, which it appears was posted on Wednesday. I don't know. Doesn't matter. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I like this team last year. I love them even more this year. The Packers are the team to beat in the NFC North.
I will still say the Lions. Sometimes the best teams don't make the moves in free agency. They just re-sign their own. I'm not going to overreact to this right now. The Lions were just a couple of decisions and execution in the way of making the Super Bowl.
I just want to interject here. This isn't about me. This is about what they have to say. I just want to be very clear. The Packers actually were the team that was just a couple decisions and plays away from going to the Super Bowl. The Lions got the crap beat out of them. Okay, so just throwing that out there.
So the Packers, I do like, you know, Josh Jacobs, but we'll see how much better than Aaron Jones he is. We'll see if he can, you know, stay healthy.
Yeah, wig waiting rusher 2 years ago.
I like Xavier McKinney as the add in safety.
That was
department.
Nice. They needed that.
They always draft very well. We'll see how they draft.
The young kids, the young wide receivers, going to be a year older.
I know that. Can I give you a sleeper pick right here?
For the NFC?
North. The Bears. If Caleb Williams can come out of the gate.
Every year we have to do this.
Okay. And what, be CJ Stroud?
Sure. Or CJ. Not the full. Or just Stroud. CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Just be Stroud. Just be C Stroud. Or J Stroud.
10 wins next year?
I don't know. I love what they're doing on defense.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot. I kind of dig it.
They lost, you know, Darnell Mooney, obviously, but they'll probably draft someone at nine, right?
Rome Odunze could be sitting there.
Malik Nabers at 9?
I don't know if Nabers is going to last that long. But they can get a really sweet, sweet player as a receiver for Caleb Williams right on the spot. Yeah. I mean, they could really do that. I kind of dig what they're up to, pal.
DeAndre Swift now at running back.
That was a nice add early on in free agency.
I think he was the first signing.
I do believe so.
Yeah.
So I will just say this is an overreaction. I did like the way the Packers finished up.
Is Jordan Love the best quarterback in the North?
Yes. I'll go there, sure. I'll go there.
Then what the hell's the problem, stupid? Look, bro, I can't handle the Bears right now. They don't have a quarterback right now. Okay, they don't have one. And now you're telling me that if he's what, 25%, if Caleb, assuming they draft Caleb, which I think they will, if Caleb Williams can be 25% of CJ Stroud, what, they win the North? Are you that stupid? Are you that freaking dense? This is a bad football team. And what do you like about their defense? What is the best part of their defense? Is it the safety that is no longer there? Is it the linebackers that they overpaid that turns out are not very good? Is it the corner that they paid that 100,000% is going to regress because he peaked last year? Is it the defensive tackles that are non-existent, including Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens, who were complete garbage last year? Is it one of the four edge rushers on their entire team, Montez Sweat, and then nobody else? I mean, the Lions are well known for not really having a lot of pieces. They have more than the Bears right now. They at least have Aiden Hutchinson and some pieces along the defensive line. The Packers have significantly more than the Bears do and made major coaching upgrades, but I guess we'll ignore that. I guess we're just forgetting about the DC in Minnesota because it didn't end well, so now we just throw him to the side and say the Vikings just suck. Like, what are you talking about? You like what they're doing on defense. Their offense is garbage. And if they draft Caleb and he comes in and he can be not even CJ Stroud good, which, by the way, CJ Stroud went into a significantly better situation and didn't win the Super Bowl or do much aside from get into the playoffs. I appreciate that the segment was the Packers are the team to beat. That's sort of the overreaction thing. They're the team to beat in the NFC North. And I think there's an argument to be made whether it's the Packers or the Lions. I think that's a fair argument. I think it was pretty apparent that the Packers were the better team at the end of the year. Anybody that doesn't acknowledge that, I think, is just not really paying attention. Even the Lions' own players said they do not want to play the Green Bay Packers, and for good reason. The Packers were a significantly better team than the Lions were. Maybe significantly is overstating it, but they were a better team. But the Bears? Come on, man. Just we got to do this again. We got to do it all over again. We did this for years with Justin Fields, and now before they even land a quarterback, we're just going to say, hey, if they can get one, you know. And look, yeah, we can play this game. Okay, yes, if everything falls right, if they draft Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is a really good quarterback, and they get Rome Odunze, and he's a really good wide receiver. Oh, and the wide receiver that was there last year stays as good as he was, even though that was his best year of his entire career last year with Chicago. And what? The offensive line improves, the tight ends improve, DeAndre Swift is not that good, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, and the defense is severely lacking. They need safeties, they need defensive tackles, they need edge rushers, and they probably could use some more corners. I mean, I guess they did get Kevin Byard, so I guess they're okay there aside from depth. And you know, Jaquan Brisker's not the best, but they drafted him. They're not going to replace him, at least not yet. Just, you know, just say you think the Lions are better and leave it alone. You got to bring the freaking Bears into this and make yourself sound stupid. But yeah, but, and then admit that Jordan Love's the best quarterback. Okay.
Over Goff?
I'll go there. I just love the way he played.
Me too.
And he looked the real deal.
Yeah.
But it's an overreaction that they're going to be the best team. He's the best quarterback, and they probably have the best offensive play caller, right? And a very good offensive line, and probably the best running back. And, you know, I mean, if you want to say the best wide receiver group, it's kind of competent. I mean, the Lions and Vikings have a better overall player, but the depth isn't there. I have no idea what in the world you're talking about, Rich. I don't think you thought this through.
Up until, unfortunately, the last throw of the season for him. That was terrible.
That was terrible.
An untimely interception.
Channeled his inner Favre.
But, that they're the team to beat in the NFC North is an overreaction.
Okay.
There's still the team that lasted longer last year.
That has nothing. Lasted longer doesn't mean anything. Lasted longer doesn't mean a single thing. They lasted longer because, number one, they beat a team that sucked in the first round. The Packers beat Dallas. Then the Packers went on to come very close to beating the 49ers, but not. And then when Detroit finally came nose to nose with the 49ers, they got embarrassed. I know it looks close, but it really wasn't that close. It was 34-24 until a last minute, and I mean literally within a minute left, they score a touchdown to make it 31-34. The 49ers were the better team against Detroit. The Packers were the better team against the 49ers. Lasted longer. Who gives? Yes, and if it was the other way around, where the Lions had to face the 49ers, and then the Packers got to face them in the NFC Championship, the Packers would have lasted longer. That has nothing to do with who's the better football team. How about this? If they had gone head-to-head in the playoffs, who would have won? The Packers. That's the question that matters. Rich, you bum.
I think we'll get better in the draft. And we'll see, again, just because we haven't seen them active in the first 2 days of the negotiating window of free agency, let's see who winds up free and what do they do. But I wouldn't sleep on the Bears if they can get the quarterback play out of Caleb Williams that everybody thinks he can be as a rookie.
Not everybody.
Defensively, they may only need to have 21, 24 points put up on the board.
Yeah, I guess I could save this one for later on, but the North.
Anyways. And they're only saying that because for a very brief stretch, and we talked about this before, there was a period of time where everybody said Justin Fields was proving that he's the guy, and really that had nothing to do with it. It's that the defense was playing really, really hot for a period of time. And that essentially happened after their week 13 bye week. They allowed 13 points to the Lions, 20 to the Browns, 16 to the Cardinals, 17 to the Falcons, and 17 to the Packers. Prior to the bye, though, week 11, they allowed 31 points, 24 to the Lions, 24 to the Saints, 30 to the Chargers, 31 to the Broncos, 41 to the Chiefs, 27 to the Bucs, 38 to the Packers. Like, congrats on having, like, a stretch of time where things went well. And again, you lost your number one safety. Your corner's about to regress. But, I mean, you know, best of luck to you and whatnot. Anyways, here is one more video. This is from Underdog Football. It's a really good video, actually, if you want to go look at it. It's called This Is Why the Green Bay Packers Signed Josh Jacobs. Skipping the first portion, which is some of the details, which obviously we're pretty well aware of. And then he kicks over the question to his host. He says, why did they prioritize Josh Jacobs over Aaron Jones? And here is what he had to say.
Previously, when the wide receiver group and the tight end group was completely up in flux with the Packers, I think that Aaron Jones' skill set was way more of a requirement. Now that they have hits on the tight end spots, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks, I'll even say Romeo Doubs, they can spread the ball out through the pass game. Now what they need is a downhill thumper, and that's what Josh Jacobs is. I think Aaron Jones could do that at times, but did you want to bet on that? Going into his age 30 season, Josh Jacobs, three or four years younger than he is. Now, with that, you're making the same bet with Josh Jacobs, who had a down year last year, but the year previous was probably the best, if not the best, the second best pure downhill rusher. So I think that this is kind of like a fire and ice situation. And if you zoom out for the Packers, they can spread the ball out with Jaden Reed and those type of players. And now I think you're going to see this north-south rushing attack, which they tried to do with A.J. Dillon, but completely whiffed.
Last year, the Packers were at their best when Aaron Jones was on the field. He did miss portions of the season, banged up, bruised. That's what happens when, you know, you're near 30 years old and you've spent 7 years in the NFL. Now, Josh Jacobs entering his sixth year in the league. And as you said, to me, this contract is more about what he did in 2022 when he had over 400 touches that season, over 1,600 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns, and then added just a casual 64 targets, 53 receptions, and 400 yards. Both can create yards on their own. Both can force missed tackles. I think Aaron Jones, when he was healthy, is a bit more electric in terms of explosive plays. Mm-hmm. I still think that Josh Jacobs has plenty of those in his bag. And as you pointed out, having the combination of Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, mm-hmm. Christian Watson, plus the two tight ends, plus Jordan Love off under center, deep play action, routes over the middle of the field on comebacks. This is a pairing that to me works so well. And I do wonder if they just went with the younger, healthier running back in this case, because as we saw, once Aaron Jones left the field, A.J. Dillon couldn't do it. Patrick Taylor couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And their offense just dropped off a tier or two. And that can't happen now with how good this offense can be in 2024.
I think it's probably going to be asking too much for Josh Jacobs to provide the same per touch efficiency that what Aaron Jones does. But I think that you have to look at this not based on the running back room, but kind of as the entire scheme in general here. So it is a pretty costly upgrade, though, because not only is Josh Jacobs going to require, let's say it's $10 million per year, give or take, over the next two seasons guaranteed, but also the cap hit that Aaron Jones has is basically going to the running back room on top of that. The Packers went to Aaron Jones for the second straight time and said, could you please restructure your deal? Could you please take a straight up pay cut? And this time he said, no. You saw my numbers last year. You saw my numbers in the most important games, including the playoffs, what Aaron Jones was capable for. But I'm sure that the Packers wanted him to kind of stay in like the 200-touch, 250-touch zone. And now they found somebody that can handle 300, 350 touches throughout the season. So very curious to see where Aaron Jones goes. I mean, like somebody like the Texans would make some juice.
Anyways, so I really like that from a conceptual standpoint. First of all, again, you know, he can handle a larger workload, which they're going to need. You know, the fact that the offense completely kind of tanked when Aaron Jones was off the field, but they needed to take him off the field. Now the Packers are saying, we'd rather just not have to take you off the field. Now, obviously, there's injuries there, and you're going to have to give him a breather here and there, but they need somebody that can handle a larger load. But I also like the idea of conceptually we're looking for something a little bit different, specifically because we have confidence in our tight ends and wide receivers. They can handle that. We don't need a guy that can just carry the offense as a whole because, you know, go back to, say, 2022 when, you know, Watson is hurt and Doubs is hurt and, you know, Devontae's gone and you're looking at it and just going, I don't know, man. You know, it's like we just don't trust it. You know, we don't have the tight ends there. We don't have anything working. Nobody really knows what they're doing quite yet. But now that they have a stable of guys that they trust with Jordan Love, with, you know, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and presumably, you know, guys that are going to be getting better. Of course, you always want an overall, an all-around type of guy. But the bottom line is we need more so a guy that leans toward just a straight-up north-south runner. And I think that that bodes well for Emmanuel Wilson. Because I don't know outside of running where he excels. Not saying he can't. I'm just saying we didn't see a ton of it. But if he can just be a really solid runner, I think there's a place for him. Because that becomes the priority. You know, Aaron Jones, we needed him in the pass game because he was one of our best receivers for a lot of years, or second best. And again, that's always a good thing. That's never going to be a negative, no matter what. But because we have more trust in it, we need a running back that's just a really good running back, and that's what Josh Jacobs is. Nothing wrong with him as a receiver or anything else, but you want a really good north-south runner that brings power, that brings elusiveness, that brings tackle-breaking ability and and all that jazz, that's Josh Jacobs. And it's just kind of an angle, whether it's true or not, it's an angle that I hadn't really considered. And later on in this video, they talk about, you know, A.J. Dillon should have been a signal to us all that this is the direction they wanted to go. And I think that that's true. Again, I'll bring up the fact that Brian Gutekunst did not draft Aaron Jones. And that isn't me saying he doesn't like Aaron Jones, but I think he has a type. And I think he's been telling us what that type is for a while. And that's the reason why I've been kind of hammering the point of I don't think we need to be looking in the direction of a new Aaron Jones. I think we need to realize what his type is, what style of football he wants to play. And I think it's symbiotic with what Matt LaFleur wants as well. He wants a Derrick Henry. He wants sort of this big bruising back that can really just handle whatever it is we're going to throw at you. And as many times as we want to throw it at you. I mean, look at San Francisco and Christian McCaffrey. Not that you would expect McCaffrey to really fit the mold of these big bruising guys, but he has a lot of carries. A lot of touches, especially. And so that's kind of the reason I bring it up, because I tend to agree that I feel like we're being sent signals. We're being given the answers to the test, and we shouldn't ignore it. And again, that's not to say that they wouldn't, you know, go in the direction of Corum or whoever else fits that kind of mold. And there's plenty of guys. If he's a good football player and they think that he'd be a good complement to what we have and a good value at where they're still available, he's going to take them. So this isn't me saying disregard them entirely. I'm just saying this is his type. The other thing that was talked about is this is potentially a response to where the NFL is headed, which is too high coverage. Now, obviously, the Packers are not one of those teams that emphasizes that, but the rest of the NFL is, and it's almost as if perhaps, you know, remember, all the Vic Fangio defenses sucked. They just did this past year. But if you're going to play too high and not have somebody drop down and help in the run game, then we're going to invest in these big running backs, and we're just going to run it down your throat. And so this is the evolution. And you look at the investments immediately day one, the running backs start flying off the shelf. And I think Aaron Jones helps to signify that. How much better this offense was when we had a dangerous rushing attack. I think that of course it has something to do with Aaron Jones' talent in general, but there might have been different eras where that wouldn't have been the case as much, as opposed to now where, you know, if you really want to crush a team or crush today's modern defenses, run the ball effectively. Anyways, why don't we take our final break? I hate to do it because I just did it. You know, I said yesterday I got it off my chest or whatever, but as I go through YouTube, there is nothing talked about more than the Justin Fields situation. So I just want to kind of, you know, just poke around, see what people are saying about it, partially because I find it funny, you know. But we'll take a little bit of time and see what's going on out there. We'll be right back. So if you missed my podcast yesterday, I would encourage you to just pause this, go back to yesterday's podcast, and listen to my rant about Justin Fields, because I've got several videos queued up that more or less back up exactly what I said. And I want to start with this, because this also kind of gives one of the claims I made, which is that the Bears are full of crap in this idea that, oh, no. We didn't really want to get anything done. We're not trying to trade him. We want to find out which quarterback we want first, and then we'll trade him. Or make sure that we want a quarterback, or whatever nonsense that they're trying to push to the media that guys like Ian Rappaport are reporting right now, which is just complete bullcrap. But just kind of demonstrating that they're doing a 180 on this. I'm going to start with PFF, and the video is the Justin Fields trade market.
Everyone, I think, expected Justin Fields to be traded at this point. The Bears themselves, before the combine started, were like, yeah, we want to get this done before free agency. We want to be proactive in trading Fields away because we want to do right by Justin. Exactly. And here we are with free agency, I guess, technically not quite started, but about to start. And Justin Fields is still sitting there on the Chicago Bears roster. So where is this market and what's going to happen with all this?
Yeah, so the market just gets, it feels like it gets lower the longer this goes on.
That was the exact other point I made. The longer you wait, the worse this gets, which I want to reiterate. The main point that I made is that Bears fans, your GM is a freaking dunce. He's a moron. This should have been done. In fact, it should have been done last year. He had a much higher trade market than he did last year. Okay. You could have traded Fields, got a decent haul for him, probably not a major one, but certainly bigger than what you're going to get this year, and you could have drafted C.J. Stroud. You didn't do that, though, did you? No. And now look where you are. Now look at the position your GM has put you in. You don't have C.J. Stroud. You're back to the first overall pick thanks to the Carolina Panthers. You got lucky on that one because of that trade that you did with them. And now you're sitting here again. You need to trade Justin Fields. Everybody's gone out and got a quarterback. Everybody that's offloading a quarterback has done a deal, and your guy hasn't done it yet.
And look, you know, I was on I was on some radio hits, and you know, people in Chicago, I was talking with them, and it's like, oh no, they said they're going to trade it. They said they're going to trade him before free agency, so we're going to have the answer soon enough. And my response to them was the same every time. That's really nice, okay, but owners and general managers, they can lie with their words. They're not going to lie with their money and their assets. They're not. And when it comes to getting the best draft pick possible for Justin Fields, sure, it sounds nice. We're going to trade him before free agency. We're going to let him know before free agency. If they believe they can get a better deal for him, if they wait, guess what they're going to do? They're going to wait. Plain and simple. And the longer this went on, and the more that the Chicago Bears kind of came out publicly and said, again, like, oh, we want to do well by Justin. Okay, guess what the draft compensation was probably from that point on? Crap. It was probably as low as it had been to that point. So, man, we were starting off.
In other words, by saying what they said, they tanked his value. Well done.
There were debates of, oh, is this guy worth the back end of the first round pick? He's worth 2 second round picks, you know, a second and a third.
That was debated by Bears fans, by the way.
What? Dude, I bet Justin Fields gets traded for a fourth round pick at this point. I think a fourth round pick gets it done. And I don't know what team is going to pay for it. It feels as though the Saints.
And to be fair, or I shouldn't say to be fair, to be clear, the discussion was maybe like a second or third round pick, which was low, and Bears fans hated that. Now what he's saying is, I think it's down to a fourth at this point.
Are now in play, right? No Jameis, so maybe you could trade something if you want that kind of a backup, but they have Taysom Hill, so like maybe they don't think they need it. You know, not saying that Justin Fields is Taysom Hill, but I'm saying like the Saints clearly think enough of Taysom Hill where he could get it done for them as a backup. Maybe Seattle, right? Seattle's in a situation where they just restructured Geno Smith.
And something else to keep in mind. So fourth round pick feels low. Bears fans are going to hate it. No doubt about it. But at the same time, we've already established that this is for a backup. We're trying to figure out which team is going to be bringing in a backup. Are you giving up a fourth round pick for a backup? I mean, it's kind of steep for a backup. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there has to be a kicker involved in which we need a backup with some starter upside. You know, I mean, it could be a real long shot, but who knows? Maybe he sits as a backup for a while and becomes something. I don't know.
His contract, Pete Carroll's out as head coach. Is this the last year that Geno's in Seattle? If that is the case, you'd probably take a day three pick. Trade it for Justin Fields, get him in the system already, get him in with the coaching staff, and maybe he develops into somebody that you got enough faith in going into the year after that. So I look at Seattle, but those are the two teams that really stick out to me because Falcons, no, we thought about them as a potential destination. That's out. Steelers, no, that's out. Where's he going?
Yeah, exactly. Where's he going? In fact, that is the title of our next video for Mitch Eisen. It's titled, Where's He Going? With three question marks. Rich Eisen on the shrinking trade market for Bears quarterback Justin Fields.
We just heard from Albert Breer. I said to him, where's Justin Fields going to go? He said, what I always want to hear as the host of this show is, that's a really good question, Rich. Because for Justin Fields to go somewhere, he's got to go somewhere where a team that needs a quarterback says, we're not going to draft one. We'll take you. That means Raiders, Commanders, Patriots, Steelers, Falcons. Every one of them have filled a spot with a quarterback over the last 24 to 48 hours. Every one of them. The Vikings.
And not one of them went with Fields, by the way. And some of these quarterback options that they filled with are not good quarterbacks. They're not. Which means I have to believe that And believe me, I am, as you know, one of the biggest Fields doubters out there. But I think Fields is at least as good as some of these guys that have been picked up. And so the fact that he wasn't moved while other guys like Sam Darnold were is a failure of your GM, because there were options out there and he chose not to do it, probably because he thought there was a bigger market and he wanted to play hardball. And guess what? Everybody else said, sorry, there's too many quarterbacks out here. I'm not going to sit here and bicker with you because quarterbacks are flying off the board. I'm going to go get somebody. And he got left holding the bag.
On top of it, having lost Kirk Cousins, who went to the Falcons, Bears aren't sending him to Minnesota. Minnesota says, we'll take Sam Darnold. We'll beat out the Broncos, who Mark Schlereth was on yesterday. I'm like, what do you think they're going to do at quarterback? He goes, Sam Darnold. Well, the Vikings clearly knew that, offered Sam $10 million, sold. He's coming in. Okay. Raiders.
Here's another thought, by the way. How much of this has to do with Justin Fields? I'm happy to put it on your GM, but Justin, this is a trade. How much is it Justin Fields saying, I'm a starter. I need to go somewhere I'm a starter. And everybody's like, I'm not doing that, and I'm not paying you starter money. You know, I mean, if he's going to get that Minnesota, I'm not saying specifically Minnesota, but let's just say the Minnesota deal, like you can come here for your final, you know, year, or we'll give you $10 million or whatever. Like, we're not doing anything special with you. You're not getting an extension with us. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. Maybe the Bears and Justin Fields overvalue Justin Fields and the market.
I didn't think that was a landing spot for Justin Fields anyway, because the offensive coordinator, who he once famously said during last season had him playing like a robot or robotic, that's the offensive coordinator that's there, doesn't sound like a fit. Raiders decide to go and pay Gardner Minshew 2 years, $25 million. 15 of it guaranteed. So Justin's not going there. Unless Minshew was signed to back up Justin Fields there.
By the way, Rich Eisen doesn't get it. And we'll get into that in a different video. Rich Eisen is still on the Justin Fields train. He isn't quote unquote woke on this issue. He hasn't woken up. He hasn't been enlightened. He hasn't been red-pilled, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't understand. He's still of that old school that Justin Fields is a really good quarterback. I don't get it. Why else would you say something so stupid? You think he's going to come in and be the starter with Gardner Minshew as the backup. So they got his backup established, and then they're going to work out what? Some big deal with the Bears to make him a starter? Come on, Rich. I mean, when he does a video that says, where is he going? Question mark, question mark, question mark. He's genuinely confused by this. How can this happen? How can this young, talented man not get a job? Here's a different video. This is on the Rich Eisen show, but talking to Mike Florio about this issue, and you'll hear what I'm talking about.
The fact that Cousins went to Atlanta, Baker stayed put, Russ wound up with Pittsburgh, and then you see other teams like the Raiders go in the Gardner Minshew direction. The Commanders clearly setting up to take what looks like Jaden Daniels second overall by signing Mariota. The Patriots getting Jacoby Brissett for assuming a third overall drafted quarterback like Drake May. Leaves just to wonder, where does Justin Fields wind up? Like, what's going on with the Bears and their decision there and the timing on it, Mike?
Well, you know, Rich, when the Patriots got only a sixth round pick for Mac Jones, who was drafted four spots after Justin Fields, was a Pro Bowler his rookie year, had a regression in 2022 due in large part to the fact that Bill Belichick thought it would be prudent to make a career defensive coach in charge of the offense. If that's all you get, and he lands at number two at best on the Jacksonville depth chart, what are the Bears going to get for Justin Fields? These teams want to go young, all the way down to rookie, the ones that need quarterbacks. And the fact that there were other free agent options available where you don't have to give up any value by way of draft pick compensation to get the guy, that has complicated it as well. And Rich, I've been trying to play this out in my mind. Like, where does this go from here? Is there a deal that's done in the short term? Do they hold him until after the draft? The 18-hour window between the end of round one and the start of round two, will there be a team that wanted a quarterback in round one that gets shut out from the guy they want? And so, okay, we'll do a deal with the Bears for Justin Fields. And if it doesn't happen then,
Do you run it all the way through the trade deadline and wait for someone to lose a starting quarterback? Is there a way that Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, Bears can coexist? Folks in Chicago think that can't happen. I was just on The Score before joining you. They say they got political signs in the yard. Yard signs. Justin Fields is our quarterback in Chicago.
By the way, I gave you guys a lot of credit. I don't know how many Bears fans are listening. I gave you guys a lot of credit saying it's probably just a few, you know, random rabid people on social media. Apparently, you guys have yard signs for Justin Fields. By the way, Florio lays this out perfectly. It shouldn't have to be explained to you, but here's Florio explaining why maybe your thought process is flawed.
That's how big of a deal it is. And I'd like to say to those folks, if you really believe that, then the fact that no one's offering anything of value for a guy who's clearly available should tell you maybe you should revisit your position.
Exactly.
But regardless, it's a big mess for the Bears. They need to figure out when to declare victory and retreat on this one.
Rich, I think that's a fair point. And I've been doing the same thing, like trying to run this out in my head. Like, okay, so what's your next move? And it makes sense that, okay, you screwed the pooch on this one. Like, this is bad. And there's no market anymore. It does make sense to now continue to hold on and see if a new market emerges, right? Run this into the draft and wait for teams that needed a quarterback to not have one, and then hope that a panic ensues, right? That there's a team that needs a quarterback, they're left with no quarterback, and now we can spike the value, right? Because now you need a starter, and you're going to pay extra for a starter. Now we can maybe get back into the, I'll give you a second or third round pick or whatever for Justin Fields, and I can kind of save face and be like, okay, I moved him. Like, you got to throw me some kind of a kicker. If you're going to give me a third, at least give me like a third or a fourth next year or something. But then, as he said, what if that doesn't happen? What do you do? Do you actually carry him into the season and wait for somebody's quarterback to get injured and sell him off as a backup, as like a starting backup, because you don't have anybody now that your guy's hurt? And how is that going to play with him? That becomes sort of like a situation with the Packers where it's like, well, could Rodgers actually be the guy as a backup to Jordan Love? Like, how would that all work? You have to assume that they're never going to let that happen. And so it's sort of a high risk, high reward situation where if you can wait for a market to emerge, it could possibly, you could recoup a little bit of value. But if that doesn't pan out, Justin Fields is going to be dragged all the way through this offseason with Caleb Williams on the team. And it's going to get ugly, and the PR is going to get ugly, and you're going to end up with terrible value for him. It's going to get even worse, and you're putting yourself in a tough spot. And it's entirely possible. Look, I mean, he came into this wanting to get maybe a second, maybe a little bit more, and it turns out the market is like a sixth, and he's like, there's no way. I mean, you just heard Mac Jones went for a sixth because he's a backup. He got brought on as a backup, and that's, you know, people are looking like, hey, he's nothing more than a backup. I'll give you a six for him. Like, you're out of your freaking mind. And maybe that came up. Maybe he got offers for a fifth, maybe like a late fourth. And he's like, there's no way. And then boom, 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 boom. These guys get traded off.
Well, if they're putting yard signs out for Justin Fields in Chicago, does that mean Tyson Bagent is the vice president? Mike?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just, yeah, you know, well obviously, done. Welcome and thank you. Thank you. Just trying to be current. But in all seriousness, though, what you said about how teams want to go young at quarterback, I kind of find this fascinating to me because last year, let me get this number right. I got this from Jack Andrade, NFL Network researcher, yesterday. I should have written it down rather than trying to find it in my phone live. Here it is. There were last year 67 different starting quarterbacks, and that was four behind the 71 the year before. The number of times that you're going to need a quarterback to keep your season alive, to keep your season going, to make sure it doesn't go south like, say, the Jets last year, and we can make more examples of that. I don't get it. Why wouldn't some team just decide to flip something for Justin Fields and get him and see how that works out while you get another young quarterback in, right?
Again, that's exactly it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't realize how little value people put in Justin Fields. And again, there must be a discrepancy between Justin Fields and the Bears and Justin Fields' agent and the value that they feel that they have and the value that's actually out there. I mean, I think the fact that he's not going to be a starter in the NFL kind of shook everybody up. I don't think the Bears realized that. I think most of the media didn't realize that. And listen, this is largely because I think they're buying into their own hype. The media has been propping up Justin Fields since forever. And so everybody in the media as well as a bunch of fans, like I've said, even Packer fans, are convinced that, well, he just needs the right system and all this, and everything's going to be fine. He'll be a great quarterback. Nobody believes that. And so I'd be willing to bet there were offers, and probably still are offers, for Justin Fields to come in as a backup, and they don't want that. So I just got a couple more. This is from the Dan Patrick Show. He's going to play a clip of Ryan Clark. Now, there's still going to be Fields apologists out there. There's plenty of them. They refuse to envision that there is a world in which Justin Fields isn't a great quarterback and isn't respected and loved and amazing and wonderful. But here is Dan Patrick. He's going to play the clip of Ryan Clark and then give his thoughts.
I don't know why everybody can't see the big elephant.
What's the elephant?
What if they ain't gonna draft Caleb Williams at all?
What does that mean?
Haven't we been talking about the evaluation process? The draft didn't happen. I don't know that Caleb Williams has signed a contract. Has anybody called Caleb Williams and say, hey, Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears are drafting you number one overall. Are you ready to come to Chicago? Do you want us to take you to see the bean? Nobody ever said that.
The bean.
What if Justin Fields is going to be the only first-round quarterback in the room? What if Justin Fields is going to be the starter and they aren't going to draft the quarterback and they're going to trade away the number one pick? Why?
So I could let this ride out, but let me just give my thoughts on this before Dan Patrick chimes in. First of all, it doesn't matter if they decide they don't want to draft Caleb Williams, because there's also Drake May and Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. There are other quarterbacks that are going to be there. And as far as what if he's the only first-round quarterback, I'm sorry, nobody views Justin Fields as a first-round quarterback anymore. You know how I know? Because if the draft was over again, nobody would take him in the first round. That wouldn't happen. But of course, we can't think that way.
Why can't that happen? Why are we so shocked? Maybe Justin ain't been traded because they don't want to trade him.
Is that possible? Is that
very possible?
Okay. Now, that's just an opinion by Ryan Clark.
A very bad
one. By the way, Greeny with some great follow-up questions there. But okay, he's just sort of saying, hey, they haven't traded Justin Fields. Well, maybe they want to keep him. Well, maybe nobody wants him.
Boom.
Everybody has an opportunity for Justin Fields. You know what the price tag is going to be. If you give a second or third round pick, you can have Justin Fields. Every team can have him if they want him, whether it's a starter or it's a backup. And the Bears said it publicly at the combine. Hey, we got to do right by him if we move on from him. If he's your franchise quarterback, you're not saying, well, you know, if we have to move on from him,
right?
Hey, we want to do right by him. They were trying to rig the market. Like, hey, you better come up and get him. You're going to have to give us a little bit more than that. That's what this is. And now they're finding nobody wants him, not as a starter. And then do you want to get, can you get a better quarterback in the draft, say in the second round or third round? Do you want to spend that? And then, you know, Justin Fields moving into $25 million a year. But if you're the Bears, I guess it's not a bad scenario to keep him. If you can't get anything for him, keep him.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that, because I think the value is so low. I mean, honestly, if I'm the Bears and the best I can get is a sixth, I'd almost rather keep him. The only reason I don't want to is the absolute catastrophic headache that is going to be caused by the horrific situation. You're going to have Justin Fields sit on the bench, which the majority of the fan base, I would say, or 50% or whatever it is mad at you that you would even consider drafting, you know, because then here's the thing. The narrative is going to be, if you're keeping Justin Fields, why didn't you just trade the pick? Which we know the answer to that, but that's what Bears fans are going to say, because they're like, okay, you decided he's our guy, then what'd you draft a quarterback for? And then you're going to have Caleb go out there. He's probably not going to be an elite quarterback week one. Most rookie quarterbacks aren't. And so now you're going to have a guy on the bench. You're going to hear chants in the stands. We want Justin. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Right? Do you want that? No. But it's true. Anybody could have given up a second round pick for him, and nobody did. The Bears don't want him. Nobody else wants him. Period. End of story. Here's a snippet from Susie Schuster, who apparently is Rich Eisen's wife. I don't really know who she is, but she's going to give her thoughts on the situation.
The Bears have clearly outplayed their hand with Justin Fields, correct?
Seems yes.
Like it. Okay, seems like they thought somebody would want him. Very talented young quarterback. hasn't panned out the way they want it to be. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, they're going to get somebody. Oh, by the way, Drake May is good. Does anybody pay attention?
So that's really all I wanted to play there because, again, everybody sort of seems to understand the situation. They overplayed their hand. They thought that they had more value. They thought that they were going to be able to get something for him. They were expecting to flip him for a second-round pick, and everybody except for the Fields apologists would have been super excited because, of course, people feel like Fields should be the starter, and if you're going to trade him, you should get multiple ones or whatever because they're psychotic. But whatever, they thought that they were probably going to get a 2, maybe a 3 plus something else or whatever, and nobody wants him, period. Final clip, here is Colin Cowherd. This was from very recently.
Multiple NFL sources saying...
Why is it so quiet? It's as loud as I can get it.
He is now... he's a backup. There's only one opinion you can have. He's a very good athlete who's bad in the pocket.
Yep.
So far in his career, from the pocket, Justin Fields is basically Davis Mills, Taylor Heineke, and Mac Jones. And you don't like any of those guys.
Right.
Okay. So he doesn't have a market. Again, he's athletic, but when you're hearing he's a backup, the market is speaking. The NFL GMs, they're looking at film, and the film is telling you he's got some wiggle, he's got some Zach Wilson arm strength, but in the end, he's not very good from the pocket. So the Raiders needed a quarterback, and they took Gardner Minshew. There's an argument to be made that you hold on to him to the draft, and if a team that wants a quarterback doesn't get one, because I think 5 of these quarterbacks are going in the first 15 picks, and a team that's 18, 19, 20, 21 that doesn't want to give up draft capital doesn't get their guy.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is that you'd rather have Michael Penix or Bo Nix, right? Because even if you don't necessarily love those guys, you know that there's a chance that they can play from the pocket, and you know Justin Fields can't. End of story. Anyways, that's it for today. You guys have a good rest of your day. I'll talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.